Ginger and I stood on one of the gates, like kids, to see it and laugh. You just, it makes you so happy. It is so funny. I mean, they drop to their knees, they rip their shirts, and Stella's killing me up there. We're like, go on, baby, what you want? It's just in a heavy New Orleans accent. It kills.
On today's Daytime Confidential podcast, brought to you by daytimeconfidential.zaptoit.com, we welcome back the hilarious, talented Christian LeBlanc, who has beautiful. So much going on. And beautiful, yes, always beautiful.
Most importantly, beautiful.
Yes, he has so much going on that we're going to be talking about today, from stuff going on in New Orleans to arbitration, backlash and frontlash and everything.
Got arbitrary. What's going on?
Christian.
No more. I don't know what the hell.
Arbitration is the sexiest word in soaps right now, thanks to Y&R.
Who's going? Oh, right. Arbitration. You're not kidding me, right?
Yes. You guys got
sitting there. Arbitration.
I'm telling you, Y&R has its groove back with this storyline. What was it like playing out the victor finally getting his?
Well, I'm telling you. I mean, I was so surprised. I mean, honestly, he's, you know, Eric surprises me sometimes. There's a little scene that we just aired where I came up behind him and kind of grabbed him by the shoulders and said, it's okay. And he's all missed. I mean, he just, you know, I tell you, he's not there for nothing. You gotta
yeah,
say.
Exactly.
But oh, no.
Every now and then you're brought back in spades by Jeannie Cooper, and Eric and Mel have lasted. And at the end of the day, I have come to believe that, you know, it's not that they're not talented, but, you know, even more so is just white knuckling it to the end. The one who wins is the one who just laughs.
Yeah, there you go.
Hold on longer than everybody else sometimes in this crazy business. So and it's quite an eye opener, but I love Amelia and M on one side of the table, and then, you know, you have Adam coming in there with the testimony. You know, it just, they have Neil in there. I love seeing everyone together because I get so excited to be with people I haven't been with before, you know, on the show.
Mm-hmm. With Michael being kind of the conciliary and the gatekeeper to the Newman family, you do get a unique opportunity to work with each and every actor in the storyline, which doesn't happen with everyone else.
And it's some substantial stuff. We have these great scenes with Emily and Abby's character and Victoria I love being in the soup, you know. It's just, especially if you know, because we've been Lauren and the doppelgangers and all that stuff, and I love home, but I like to get that lawyer drag on.
Mm-hmm. And Michael has personal history with so many of the people involved. Like, a lot of newer fans might not remember, but at one point there was a romantic spark between Michael and Victoria. Is that something you'd like to?
I always yell at Amelia, play it like we dated before. Come on. Play the dating.
Exactly.
We both do it. It's so funny. Oh, that's right. We've dated. I've got to remember that.
And Neil, too. She was doing all her daddy. Well, she wasn't doing them, but she was, you know, flirting with all of her daddy's hired help guys.
I wanted to hear even more of that. I wanted to see a few little, hey, Neil, hey.
Exactly.
You know,
leg, you know.
Some of that history. That's right.
Yeah, there you go. Now, the Diane.
You're not dead, I told her, for God's sake.
Jillian Bowe, who is our Y&R aficionado, she can't be here with us today, but she...
Flash stalker. Yeah.
She...
True, very true.
Very true.
See, I believe that. See, that's going to be Luke that's going to catch that beat now. But she...
Look, it always comes as a shock when it happens to someone you know, right?
Right, okay. Exactly. She wants to know, though, will there be any upcoming scenes or more story between Michael and Diane? Because, you know, you guys definitely play that history. Or even
a lot of people have asked that. I do not know, as they do not tell us. But I certainly hope so, because I know Maura from, you know, As the World Turns. Not when I was on there, but when I crossed over as Michael Baldwin, it was the first time I kind of actually worked with Maura. I mean, she was in those scenes.
Right.
I love her to death, you know. So it'll be interesting because, yeah, we have this long, long history.
Yeah.
Together and with Michael, Alex Donnelly and with Susan Walters.
Michael,
you know, who are both friends of mine.
A lot of the time I'm yelling at the screen at Michael, not at you, of course, but at Michael, you know, when he gets all in their face. Because you know, Christian, that Michael once helped Brad, Jack, and Diane take Jabo away from Victor, too. So he knows how to betray old Victor.
I kind of like that. Because there is a lot of dubious shenanigans going on, mm-hmm. even with this thing, you know, getting Adam in there.
Well, maybe that's why he's wanting to keep you close. So
it's one of those things that'll be interesting if that develops. I always play that kind of, you know, but they've got to write it. You know, they've got to expand mm-hmm. upon it. But, I mean, that's one of those things. I always play that kind of history, and you hope they pick up on it. And there's just a little discomfort with it. But, you know, we have the scenes in The Office, which I really like with Victor, about, plausible deniability. Mm-hmm. And if you'd want me to keep out, you wouldn't have told me any of this. Now I'm in, you know.
Right.
It's that kind of dialogue that hopefully sparks something in their heads. But, yeah, because there's – you know, what's wonderful and about the way they write is that you could shoot this off in all sorts of directions, but I want them to remember that, yeah. And I like the fact that, Michael, I don't want to be the sweet person, you know. He was always the lawyer who was like, look, this is my client, this is what I'll do.
You get drilling holes in Cricket's wall
now
so you can pee better.
That's just a bad date. Let's not get all hysterical. It's a slight schism, my friend, a slight schism. All taken care of. And that was nothing to do with the law. Love, yeah. Baby. It's all love.
Well, speaking of love, you mm-hmm. know, poll after poll after poll, you and Tracy Bregman always top. You know, you guys consistently are one of YNR's most popular couples. And fans want to know, when are we going to see another big love story between Michael and Lauren?
Yeah, you know, it'll always something have to come up. We just did the double doppelgangers.
Yes.
So we're still recuperating. I have to go home and put a cold compress on my head, you know, and think about what I did. Right. But yeah, I'm all for it. I have the hottest wife in daytime, and, you know, might as well use it. Use
Tracy Bregman don't crack. People say black don't crack, but Tracy Bregman don't crack either.
Right? And she looks better than she did in the 80s. I mean, I wasn't on the show, but I've seen the picture. She will show you, and I'm like, oh.
Yes.
That was a hair
job. And look, you're not anything to – no one's going to put a bag over your head either. So
that's right, because I don't let them. I'll sue. I'm very litigious.
There you go.
I cannot say enough about – I mean, I actually got to with me. Tracy's like they said about Ginger Rogers, like everything backwards and in high heels could be a difficulty with those doppelgangers. And it would be nice to get to those core things. But what's great is like, I love that they give us the chance, and it says a lot about the comfort between Tracy and I. And you can't purchase that. Mm-hmm. There are some people that you're just immediately comfortable with physically, you know, because you know a lot of these situations in daytime, you're thrown into these love, you know, triangles or whatever. And, you know, you have to get very personal very quick.
Right.
And Tracy was always good to go as far as, you know, here we are, that we are husband and wife, and we've had that comfort level. And I like that it plays through all the storylines. They don't really have to hit it with a sledgehammer. Mm-hmm. Anytime we're in a room together, and it's so fun. They've caught us, you know, the cameras aren't even going, and we're holding hands while we're at the, you know, club listening to, you know, whatever, Indiglo. Mm-hmm. And they're like, the camera's not rolling, and then we just kind of sit there, and it's not particularly in character,
wait a minute.
In character.
Christian, I'm going to have to rep for your TV mama now. Okay. As much as I can't, you know, Luke is the big Gloria fan. Gloria can drive me to distraction, but you did not just call that club Indigo when it's Glowworm.
Oh, my God, right. But the last scene I did was Indigo. Oh, no, it was Glowworm. It was the next, we did do a scene in there. I was thinking about a specific scene in Indigo. But you know, Indigo, Glowworm.
Yeah.
That is a tragic name, and I don't care how you.
That is not a club I'm gonna go to.
It brings back memories of 80s toys.
It is a tragic name. You really didn't have to go there.
I'm serious.
But I buy it and I say it with a smile because they pay me.
Where we are going to go is to the Tennessee Williams Literary Festival in New Orleans.
Right?
Yes.
That's right. The golf winds have failed us this year. Don't anyone tell you otherwise.
March 23rd.
I'm flying on the kindness of strangers right now.
March 23rd through the 27th, you will be reading the works of Tennessee Williams.
With Carol Baker and John Waters and Armistead Maupin. It is going to be a crowd down there. It is his 100th birthday. Mm-hmm. And it's old school week because there's a lot of local writers going to be involved too. And Brian Batt from Mad Men, who's a local, is going to be down there too. And like I said, the man's 100th birthday, so it's a real special. Oh, wow. The festival's gone on before then, but this is his 100th birthday. So it's going to be great. And the best part is on Sunday, I judge the Stella contest, in which a woman stands in Jackson Square on a Pentablo apartment balcony in a slip. And people enter a contest in which they get to yell Stella up at her. They only get two tries. Men, women, I mean, the first time I did it, Winter Harmon from B&B and I were walking there from another gig that we were doing. And we came upon Jackson Square and just a chock-a-block of just laughing people, just laughing. It was contagious. I'm like, why are they laughing? You heard yelling going on. And it was the Stella contest. And I got to tell you, it is, if you YouTube it, it just makes you laugh. And
I tell you
hear
what.
Stella up on the balcony going, come on, baby, go ahead, baby. And they yell, they rip their shirts off, the drunks come off Bourbon Street, little kids. It is hysterical. And that's how it closes. And it's all good fun. It's all, you know, it's all in support of Tennessee Williams and Left the Seat, which is the oldest theater in New Orleans.
Right, Kristen, there next to I see so many press releases involving soap stars come across my desk. This is one where I wanted to immediately book a flight. It's so soon and I didn't know about it until right now. I would eat this up. That is like,
it
oh my God.
Is I love Tennessee. Die. I mean, Windsor and I stood on one of the gates like kids to see it and laugh. It makes you so happy. It is so funny. I mean, they drop to their knees, they rip their shirts, and Stella's killing me up there. We're like, go on, baby, what you want? It's just in a heavy New Orleans accent. It kills. And this starts Wednesday, really, the whole festival. There's a whole series of things that are exciting and great.
Next year, I got to know in time. I will take off. I will come down there for the whole week. That sounds
Look at it on YouTube.
Blast.
It's just Stella shouting contest, and you will die laughing.
Post. Definitely. Definitely. Now, and after that, on April 3rd, you're going to be the Mad Hatter in the Mad Hatter's design competition for the Bayou Junior Women's Club.
That's right.
With Brandon Beaver and Nadia Bjorlund.
That's right, because child trafficking is still the way to go. I told them just to get in my car. They ended up in Thibodeau. They have succumbed to, I use New Orleans as bait for all sorts of things, and this is a great charity I do every year. This is like pretty much Steel Magnolias. The local hood gets together. They sit there. They wear their Easter hats.
Yeah,
I love to get the ladies on their third mimosa, and we have a good time. And there's a fashion contest, but the Mad Hatters raise money. They're nationwide, but the Thibodeau chapter raises money for a lot of local charities, including, wonderfully, a nursing scholarship they named after my mother, who had passed away while I worked for them. And it's really a wonderful gig. Michelle Stafford has come down and done it, and every now and then I surprise them with new people, and I tell you, it is the most fun you can have, and there's something about Southern ladies. I mean, there's men there too. They're doing the bartending. There's a silent auction. There's a fashion competition, but them in their hats, and they're all together for Sunday. Go to meeting.
That's all you need.
That's right.
I love talking to another Southerner. It just warms my heart.
But isn't it? It's one of the things I love the most is to see an older woman done up in her Sunday best, walking them down the street. And in the old day, and I still remember this, in the French Quarter, you wore your gloves.
Mm-hmm.
And it just puts me in mind of all my relatives, my great aunts and stuff like that. I think it is so elegant.
Right.
I think
it's so many
all done up, and walking in the quarter.
Right, with so many negative images, we see so many negative images of the South, but the fact that the one thing I love about is the genteelness and the fact that there's still a place in the world where manners count and, you know, ladies and ladies.
When you go and eat at Dallas Bars or go watch the gentleman doing business there, that where they do the big deals, the political deals, and you go to Antoine's, it is. You're exactly right. Or just sit at Brennan's and have breakfast for 4 hours, like usual.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny. There's never been a day.
I can't comprehend a 4-hour breakfast.
I'm telling you, I was there with the Brennan daughters when we went down to shoot with Y&R. They're such a great family. We sat there and we talked. Because, you know, it's not just about the eating. We visited for a while. It was supposed to be an interview. We visited for a while. We sat down. Then we had the appetizer. Then they brought in all the breakfasts. And I kind of wanted to have one of each. It was so pathetic, I can't tell you. And I had Michelle Stafford and Sharon Cates with me. And they just treated us like gold. And we just sat. We almost missed the next gigs because we had a bunch of charities to do. Mm-hmm. But I will tart them out to the charities down there. But it's just civilized. And you sit there and you have, you know, it's very famously, you start talking about your next meal while you're still at your first one.
How often do you get back to New Orleans?
What's that?
How often do you get back there during the year?
You know, I have a house there, and I have eight brothers and sisters alone. The LeBlancs are huge. I have relatives. It's chock-a-block there. So my house is in my dad's old neighborhood where he was born. Mm-hmm. All the other relatives. And Tulane is where I went to school there. Mm-hmm. We all went through Katrina together. My dad lost his house, but he's, you know, 86-year-old, like an ever-ready bunny. So, I mean, I go down there as much as I can. And it's so interesting. You know, it's like all of us. When you're away from home, it's so much more important. Mm-hmm. But I've become I go there and I come back and I want to be more creative. You know what I mean? I want to write better. I want to act better. There's a reason people like Tennessee Williams and Truman Capote spent time down there.
Mm-hmm. It's a writer city, definitely.
It is. I mean, it is everywhere you look.
An artist city, yeah.
However you approach life, it is that it's someone passionate knows what it means to be there, or can appreciate it. You know what I mean? I had so many people, Christo Chappelle, people twittering from the floats and from Mardi Gras, and I was so jealous. And I was fine with it. I know because I'm going down there in the next couple of weeks, so I didn't. I was using this week to get business done. But I tell you, I put on my Facebook, you know what it means to miss New Orleans, and I just wrote, I'm feeling it. All my thoughts are downriver right now. Mm-hmm. And it's just like that. It's just one of those cities. And I was just explaining it to someone else. I get asked a lot, and there's just something about it. Y'all have gone.
Oh yeah, I grew up a hop, skip, and a jump there. I don't, Luke, have you ever been to New Orleans?
You were there. There's
no,
it's just not like anywhere else in the country.
No,
it's a unique place.
It's wonderful. You can walk up Bourbon Street and see a 9-year-old tap dancing at 2 o'clock, you know, with a hat out, and then you go around.
And then
there.
When you get to Ursuline and take a right, you're at a convent.
Exactly. So deal with it. And a 7-foot drag queen is telling you, how you doing, sugar?
Exactly. Telling you that she's going to mass because she's got to get her ashes. It's Wednesday, baby.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's Ash Wednesday.
See, and why has there never been a daytime soap set there? I think you should do one. A web soap.
I told them. They've talked to me about that, too, about why soaps are popular. And that leads right into it, because this is how they live.
Yeah.
This isn't just fiction for them.
Right.
I mean, it's one of those multi-generational cities. It's all about sitting on the front porch and knowing what your neighbors are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. They get the show. That's why we're the 90% of Y&R outdoes primetime down there.
Yes.
Oh, and I'm going to New York after that. You know that in May.
Yes, May 14th.
Yeah, you're my other favorite city.
Yes, Brokerage Entertainment Club. Now, tell us about that.
Yeah, well, Sean Kanan and I call it a hit. We're just going to... And the limo slows down and just watch out. This is something we actually motivate our own. Sean has included me in this, and we're going to the Brokerage and Uncle Vinny's in Point Pleasant, and the Brokerage in Belmore along in Long Island. And this is all my Tulane friends. I've not done an appearance east since I was on As the World Turns in the city, and I used to live there. And
you
I'm so excited about it because Long Island's my own stomping grounds. And New Jersey, are you kidding me?
You have a lot of spring, my friend.
It's all holds bar, no holds bar, my friend. It is new. It's Long Island, you know. And immediately I get off the plane. Well, what the hell are you doing? Are you out of your mind? Yeah, it all goes back.
After leaving the quiet, genteel South, heading up there is definitely a culture shock.
Oh, I know, and I got some very colorful language when I landed in Manhattan. For some reason, when I get off the plane in Manhattan, I talk like a cab driver immediately. Well, you know, what the hell? Every other word is F this, F that, F the.
You have to adapt. I learned that when the first time I went to New York last year, that was the first time I'd been. And
oh, really? You know, the first? Yeah. Wow.
Being Southerner, you know, you let ladies pass by, you let kids. I was going to get ran over in Times Square. It was like
a cab almost hit me, and I turned to the cab and excused myself. That's how far I was. I was like, oh, excuse me.
Yes.
The cab. I don't think anyone even heard me. I'm like, what did I just do?
By the second, Luke can tell you, Luke was there the second time. I was just like the rest of the New Yorkers. Get out of the way!
Exactly. And you know how you're embarrassed to hail a cab? I'm like, what do you mean yell at them?
Oh, Jamie's not embarrassed. No. Trust me.
You get over that quick, too. But I was like, what do you mean? Yell? Hello, cab? You know?
Yeah.
Hello, cab, mister? No.
You got to be a comedian in life.
Oh, I'm in the middle of the street now pushing pregnant ladies down. I don't know. Don't get in my way.
Every time you're a hoot. You are a hoot every time we have you out here. Now, I got to go a little serious for just a second because my readers would rip me if I didn't ask you this. First of all, congratulations on your Daytime Emmy pre-nomination.
So, somebody else did that. I said, I'm so pre-happy. I will be happy to pre-accept my pre-nomination. It is a very bizarre in-between place.
Yeah, it's
but,
like
you know, I am thankful. It is lovely.
Since we talked about going to Mass, you're in limbo, basically. But there's been a lot of gripes, including from us at Daytime Confidential, full disclosure, about some of the YNR prenoms. Now, what did you submit? And first of all, we all know there's
submission at this point. There's no submission. People don't understand that the rules change every year almost. It's very confusing. Now, I have sit on the committees. Uh-huh. I have gone to the meetings where I've tried to vote things up and down, and where you, if you do have a problem, get involved. First off, don't bitch unless you're participating.
Right.
Don't judge. Shut up. It's like if you don't vote, don't complain about the government, my
friend.
You have given that up. But yeah, there's no submission this year. The system is that, which is what it was like very early on, is that everyone throws their name in, whoever wants to. And as I traveled, this is interesting, as you travel to different shows, how do you put it, influence who puts their names in to varying degrees. New Orleans, Young and the Restless is all no holds barred. Anyone who wants to go into whatever category goes into whatever category.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody goes anywhere else. Just pay your money, get in. Other shows seem to, the producers, and there's a different general kind of feeling of pushing people to where the man wants them to go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not quite sure how that form takes, but that's my general impression that I hear from other actors.
Okay.
So, you know, each show has a different culture. But this system was everyone puts their name in, and the entire voting public, actors and actresses, vote. The complicating factor is there's a limit to two people per show.
Right.
But every show is guaranteed two people in each category, which, you know, I have my opinions about. Now, say way back when I was first nominated, this is what's in the 90s. It was everybody in, everybody votes, limitless number for each show. Let it begin. So sometimes we'd have three people from YNR and the best actor.
See that? I think that.
In fact,
Tamar
Moore, me, and Christoph were voted together in. Christoph and I were voted into supporting all the time. Sometimes. Not every time, but, you know, there would be three from one show out of five.
So
and
each
then people
show
complain. So
is
they
guaranteed two pre-noms.
What's that?
So each one of the six soaps are guaranteed, or, you know, each of the soaps on the air are guaranteed two pre-noms each category?
Yes, and that, I think, is That is where I kind of I disagree. If I mean, everyone has their opinion.
See that now. Now that you've explained that to me, it makes me not go as hard against each specific soap, because there are certain soaps on daytime that just shouldn't have any lead actor nominees.
Well, there are different years when there aren't.
Right.
There, as you can see from the younger actor category, we didn't have – most shows don't have two because they don't have them.
Yeah, and so I mean, I'll just say it.
When I was on those committees, I voted to get rid of the younger actress and actress category because I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree, because if you're Hollywood –
if you're an instant and a 20-year-old, then what the hell?
If you're leading story, you're leading story.
Yeah. If you're Haley Joel Osment, you're supporting.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you're not, then you shouldn't be, they're just young. The people are scrounging to get people to fit that category. We didn't even have, I don't think we had a younger lead, a younger actor nominee this year.
You know, it's kind of a situation where, because, we zeroed in on the fact that, full disclosure, Michael Muni and Eric Braeden had huge years last year. And so a lot of the fans and critics were like, wow, why are they not there? But if you think about it from the whole standpoint of these, each soap gets the two, guaranteed, that it should be, so I hate to say it, but Days of Our Lives should have lost one, or Bold and the Beautiful should have lost one.
Sure, I mean, that's actually my opinion. But then shows, half-hour shows in particular, complain, thinking they were locked out, so they got to double the number of shows they get to submit. I mean, when I go to these meetings or on these conference calls, and Muni's in supporting is a very difficult category. They're all difficult, but I mean, we have a very heavy cast of great supporting actors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got Greg Rickard, you've got Billy Miller, you've got, Doug Davidson was in the line. And people forget also storylines that happened in the beginning of the year. Doug Davidson had all the work with his sister, Patty and Emily. You know, so but it's all subjective anyway.
Right.
I mean, there is no form that you would get everybody happy.
Right.
I promise you that, because this conversation was being had back in the 90s, as far as I've ever been involved in these things. And when I've gone to the committees, it's when you go and participate, then I am interested that a lot of the people who complain the most don't vote or don't judge, which I find always interesting.
That's a good point.
Again, like I said, there's a lot to be said, and I think part of the fun of it is the controversy. You know, we were all bored at the Academy Awards because there was no controversy.
Yeah.
You know, nobody vomited, nobody hates anybody else. Nobody was nobody was some kind of a trog of an actor who got best actor. You know what I mean? It's part of, it's a business thing. It would be Emmys are around to encourage people to watch daytime. If they don't do that, then they're not going to last. They're not doing their job. There's a pointless show, and it has to make money.
Well, and you're right there, because I blame the Oscars on being boring on the fact that it's become such a science with all the award shows. Everybody pretty much knows who's going to win what beforehand, with the Emmys thing, or the daytime Emmys, things are a little bit more unpredictable.
Yeah, and Susan Lucci not winning was gold.
Yeah,
blew it for us all when she won.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the weirdest thing.
And then
thing.
Oprah not doing it. Maybe they'll get her back because it's her final season. I wonder what she comes.
Yeah. It's an interesting point of view, because I was talking about some of the changes I thought should be made. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting, because I was talking to some of the muckety mucks about, because I do like, but before I say any of that, because of I think the core of it is, and this is whenever we're on these cross-country conference calls with everybody trying to figure things out and they want our opinions, is that we have an ignorant electorate.
Hmm.
Daytime in particular has so many new actors that cycle through. There
is
no process in which these people are indoctrinated into what, and I bet you guys don't know what Addis and Natus are.
I've learned
because
of
this. You guys don't know
of
a mission statement. I bet you guys do not know the oath that when we were on panels that we took, or the criterion for which tapes are picked when there are tapes, because the next phase now, everyone has to pick one show, used to be two, one show, super difficult, especially the way they shoot shows now, one perfect show. And really, if you have one show, that's all you're required to have that can beat the other shows and whatever criterion you choose to have them at. Do you know what I mean? It's not, you could, volume does not make a good performance, nor does volume get you that one good show.
Mm-hmm.
And your picking has a lot to do with it. So as an actor, you are asked to pick what you believe in your home. Well, some people strategize and then like what will beat the other ones. And that's a valid thing. Mm-hmm. I tend to go like, look, what do you in your heart believe is your best work? And what, you know, because that's, you know, win on your own terms, because people will tell you a million things. You know, at YNR, we all get together and we help each other out. Like, what do you do? What have I got? You know, and really, in retrospect, if you go back to your work that you thought was good, and you're like, oh, man.
Well, that was going to be my next question. Do you have
My hair standing up. That extra is doing a backflip behind me. Why is my lipstick over my eyebrow? You know, that day I chose to wear that outfit. Really? You know, who's looking at my face? I'm wearing orange. Blah, 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 blah. That's what you get.
Yeah.
You know, you're trying to find one perfect show, and I'm telling you, it is a thankless task. But it's fun. It is the challenge, and we sit up there and laugh our asses off up in the conference rooms, you know,
trying to figure it out. Is there any part during the year where you have, say, an episode or a scene where you just think to yourself, that's it? Or that's one. Let me benchmark. Let me
pick.
It's a
dangerous. It's a dangerous trek to make. I remember talking to a young actor who will not be named because he's a fine person. But they told him about it early on in his career on soaps.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden you're looking at every scene that way, and it's a dangerous thing to do.
And
if you're like me, oh, I'm gonna tart this baby up. I'll give them any shit. I'm gonna cry. Rent clothing, bitch slap somebody. I'm gonna faint, and then I'll crawl on bloody elbows to the exit. They'll love it. You know, it just, for me, it would feed my worst instincts because I'm competitive enough. I'm like, oh, well, I'll show you three people. You want to see some large acting? I will knock my own wig off. Well, I'll show you. You know, I have it in me. So don't, this is not, you know, other people's problems. But it's a bad thing to go in thinking you're going to make a show.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go into a scene being an actor and being your character, you know. So there are days when I think I've done a great job, but my problem is I remember when I first started picking, you know, when you've had to go in and pick a reel, and people would advise me much more. I didn't know, you know, new on the show. And I would love, like, there's hard, really, what's really hard for an actor, and that's why I like that, remember, this is an actor, a peer group judge.
Mm-hmm.
And they're judging very differently than sometimes a critic knows. Because an actor will watch these tapes and go, oh, my God, look what he did with that writing. Oh, my goodness. With no words, look at her face. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you right now, you know, just as an example, Trisha Cass can do more with no lines than some people can do with an entire script.
Yes, she can.
Amen.
Michelle Stafford can do more with one show than people can do with 50 shows that they get to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
This is my personal opinion, but again, a critic will feel something else. But again, it's a peer-run thing. But mm-hmm. we know what's going on in the scenes. We know what an actor has to surmount. We know the time frame. We know the director that was doing it. We know a lot of stuff that people don't know. And you give points for that. Well, ultimately, it's about the acting, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but again, it's like I said, people, I forgot to, the main point I said is you have to educate your electorate, like any electorate. People mm-hmm. have to know that you're voting for acting, not friends. You're in there voting not for your show, you're voting for acting. Because if you cheapen the award, you ruin the Emmys and you screw it for everybody.
Yep.
Because the Emmys are a business proposition in which we encourage people to enter the daytime world and respect it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are doing any of the things, which are easy to do, but I remember one of the instructions, and it wasn't last year, I don't think. The initial judging, and I thought it was a perfect way to put it, and they don't, you know, it just switch around. You were asked when you got your reels, you got all the reels, you had to sit there, you can't edit them, you have to, as a judge, you had to watch them from beginning to end, no fast forward. You had to do that. I sit in my room with my TV, but that one year, and I don't know if it was the same last year, I know it was the year before, you were asked to watch the show. Watch this person's performance and not judge it against the other five person and the people. Or there's no five persons in this one. It's about everybody. But mm-hmm. you weren't asked to judge it against other people, other women in the category. Say it was best actress, there are five. You weren't asked to judge against the other four, but you were asked to judge against the medium in your mind of what a great performance was.
Mm-hmm.
You were to hold that best performance in your head and judge them against that, what you knew to be in your heart, in your subjective heart, what a great performance was. So you weren't putting them in an order of 1 to 5. You were judging 1 to 5 for each one from good to poor.
Right.
Against that idea in your head from your vast experience as an actor, what you judged wonderful acting to be, whatever that form of that might be. It was very interesting. This is a very specific and hard thing to do because you automatically want to compare.
Right.
But the only thing you were asked to do was between that and the performance of in your head what you thought beautiful acting was, but honesty, whatever you viewed it to be. And it's a very subtle difference. It's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah, now that that seems like it would be two totally different.
Yeah, and not and like tasks. I said, I hear a lot of like, you know, there's a lot of noise and racket and thing about fairness and not fairness. And again, it starts with the I think the producers need to get behind this. And what my tack always, you know, it can come down to math. I've actually been explained by very good friends who were up against me for an award, and I won, and they would come by, you know why you won? This is the math. You won because we split the vote, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, thank you. You may hold the award for 10 minutes. And they did that. Because your excuse was the best today.
Yeah.
And equally as valid as anything else.
Still have it.
Yeah, I'm keeping it. But if it was, I don't care what it was, math or no.
Look, trigonometry calculus is yours, right?
Whatever it was, and I'm all for them. Sometimes it's math. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's math. You know, Marissa Tomei, they jumped on her. So might have been math. Might have been a good performance. A lot of people thought it was a good performance. Yeah. Maybe they didn't think it was a good performance.
I
Maybe
always thought it was a
comedy that year. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I remember
But people will give you a million things, but I think you have to start with the voters. The actors have to be encouraged and have to be let know. Nobody knows. There's half of these people have never been on daytime before, and they're given a ballot, not told anything.
Yeah, with your show, it is. I think your show fires people up. Your show in General Hospital, because they tend to have the best. There's so many good actors on Y&R and GH that people are always going to feel like someone got slighted. Whereas,
of course, and they should. Mm-hmm. They should. People. Eric had the Christmas show. Michael Muni had, you know, from beginning to soup to nuts this year. But again, you've got a depth in the, especially in all of the categories, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just take our, like I said, take our supporting category. I mean, it was huge. It's a difficult one. I mean, I was nominated tons in supporting and never got an award.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you think I'm a good actor or don't. I never, all that stalker, all that storyline, got nothing. Mm-hmm. Got nominated.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's, but I remember one time it was who won? The guy from Cinderella played the man with Leslie Ann Warren in the old black and white Cinderella. General Hospital. Was the doctor?
Stuart Damon.
Where Damon won. And I was all set to be like, oh, that's Stuart. He was such a charming, amazing man that I realized he was the prince from Cinderella. I'm like, oh, of course. You know what I mean? You can't really hold it. And it's a press. Shamar won one year. And we were, I mean, it was like, it's a game. And if it works your worst processes, which it does seem to do for especially the poor reporters, but there should be strong opinions. That's what art's about. You should have your favorites. You should be rooting that for them, and you should despise anybody who gets in your way. That's how it works.
Well, speaking of what
I find it troublesome sometimes, where people like to pit one actor against another.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't serve anybody's purpose, but it's fodder. You know, Charlie Sheen has 3 million followers.
Lord,
can you believe that mess?
Yeah, 3 million. And but I believe there's so much more to the story, and people are making money. That's all I'm saying. People are making money.
Well, Kristen, the last time we talked to you, we kind of delved into you were getting interested into web series. Are there any out there that are piquing your interest now, or are you going to follow my idea to make one about New Orleans?
Yeah, I know. I tell you that you're absolutely right. It's ready made, and they are trying and trying. I rent all my stuff in New Orleans. I went to Movie People. They're around there all the time. You know, it's amazing. It's the third after California and New Mexico. But the Bay and Venice, actually. And then Michael O'Leary asked me to watch some of his Steamboat, and him and Michael Park kill me. They are hysterical. I've known this. And we've been trying to get together. They're in New York, and I've been trying to get together to go. And, you know, I've been approached and, you know, talked about. It's so exciting, you know. Mm-hmm. And Imaginary Bitches, I'm like, Eden, any day, any time, call it, you know.
Will you fight a fire under them?
I think they're one. I just think, you know, Venice in particular, because I know Nadia and Galen and Teresi, the head writer, and Crystal Chappelle. I know these guys, and I think it's a great venue because, you know, we never get to work with each other. We see each other at the Emmys, and it's like, oh, my God. You know, we judge each other's tapes. It's like, oh, God, I want to get in there with you. Tristan, mm-hmm. I stalked poor Tristan about working with him on the Bay, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I've met Gregory Martin, and they're really cool, and we're all talking. So, I mean, hopefully something will come of it, you know, with scheduling and all that other stuff. But I just think it's such an imaginative way to, especially Crystal and Kimmy, and these are people I know better, and Kimmy in mm-hmm. particular. Teresi is the head writer for Venice, co-writer. I just think it's God that they're even doing it, and the quality, and, you know, it's the wave of the future. I mean, I was just at a pitch meeting for another project that we are, you know, totally something different outside of daytime. And the things you have to consider when you are packaging something, you know, video games, internet distribute, you know, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's out there. And in daytime, there's no reason they can't take advantage of these outlets.
Preach.
You know, aren't people tired of being afraid of technology?
Yes.
Don't find a 12-year-old and make him president of your company.
Exactly.
I mean, set up your DVR and do your company. Because
exactly.
It's really about
being
afraid.
Mm-hmm.
It's there out there. It's just, you know, look at Glee. You know, the people say the death of daytime and stuff. You know what? I know when Glee came out. I know the casting directors for Glee. Mm-hmm. I know that they thought it was just crazy. And look at it.
Right.
They had more first number one than the Beatles,
mm-hmm.
tied into internet sales and downloaded music, covered popular music, make stars beg to be on there. It's a
yep.
powerhouse. And what is it? It's the old dinosaur of network television.
Yep.
That was supposed to be dying out.
And serialized drama. You know, I mean,
exactly.
It's...
And musical. And forget it. Are you kidding me? Singing?
Exactly.
Well, now they got a new one that's coming on NBC called Smash. That should be interesting to see how that turns out.
It will be interesting because I don't know if there's room for more derivatives of this, of that particular one. I don't know how different Smash is.
Yeah, they'll mass produce because there's one with Mark Cherry that Hallelujah too that's set with, you know, it's about good and evil in Tennessee and in Southern town.
Yeah, you know what?
Isn't
God bless
it Glee
them.
For Tea Party people? They said, and I think
you're right.
Yeah.
But you know what?
Yeah.
It's the Mao Zedong, the only amazing thing I ever heard him say, let 1,000 flowers bloom, let 1,000 schools of thought contend. Get it out there. I mean, but
it
is the source of the creativity, you know?
Well, Christian, we have had a blast with you today, and you know
Thank you. You're always
welcome back. And I'm going to stay on to you about that New Orleans web of soap. I could see it.
I think you're right. You got me worked up about that.
I'm putting it out there in the universe, like Lisa Rinna used to say on Soap Talk.
There you go. Lisa Rinna is absolutely correct.
So thank you so much for being here. Best of luck with all of your endeavors. We will post links about it on Daytime Confidential. And are you on Twitter?
I am on Twitter, CJ LeBlanc.
CJ LeBlanc. So follow him for all updates and... We thank you for being here and go out there.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's always a great time.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
See you at the Daytime Emmys.
There you go.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.